I came across an interesting story called The Stonecutter. Maybe some of you have heard of it. There was once a stonecutter who was dissatisfied with himself and his position in life. And one day he passed a wealthy merchant's house. And through the open gateway, he saw the many fine possessions and important visitors within. How powerful that merchant must be, thought the stonecutter. He became very envious and wished that he could be like the merchant. To his great surprise, he suddenly became the merchant, enjoying more luxuries and power than he had ever imagined, but envied and detested by those less wealthy than himself. Soon a high official passed by and carried a sedan chair accompanied by attendants and escorted by soldiers beating gongs. Everyone, no matter how wealthy, had to bow before the procession. How powerful that official is, he thought. I wish I could be that high official. Then he became that high official, carried everywhere in his embroidered sedan chairs, feared and hated by all people around him. It was a hot summer day, so the officials felt uncomfortable. So the official felt uncomfortable and sticky in this sedan chair, and he looked up at the sun. It shone perfectly in the sky, unaffected by his presence. How powerful the sun is, he thought. I wish I could be the sun. And then he became the sun, shining fiercely down on everyone, scorching the fields, cursed by farmers and laborers. But a huge black cloud moved between him and the earth, so that his light could no longer shine on everything. How powerful that storm cloud is, he thought. I wish I could be that storm cloud. And then he became that storm cloud, flooding the fields and the villages, shouted at by everyone. But soon he found he was being pushed away by some great force and realized that it was the wind. How powerful it is, he thought. I wish I could be that wind. And then he became that wind, blowing the tiles off the roofs of the houses, uprooting trees, feared and hated by all below him. But after a while, he ran up against something that would not move, no matter how forcefully he blew against it, a huge towering rock. And he said, how powerful that rock is. I wish I could be that rock. And he became that rock, more powerful than anything else on earth. But as he stood there, he heard the sound of a hammer pounding and a chisel into the hard ground. And it was a stonecutter chiseling away at him. This story is an illustration of human nature that I think we all wrestle with, where we all desire to have more. We are never quite satisfied with what we have, and we tend to look at what others have or other circumstances, and we think, I wish I had that. I wish I could be more like that. This grass is always greener on the other side of the fence principle. And that often reveals our human nature, that we want to have more. We're not content with what we are given. And so we need to kind of change our orientation from always thinking we never have enough, or we want to have more of what that other person has or what that other situation has. But God's word challenges us to be content with what God has given us and to be satisfied in what God has gifted us. So we're going to talk today about the concept of true satisfaction or contentment. Being happy with what we have and not striving for more. Like the stonecutter, we're naturally prone to dissatisfaction. We fall into, if only I had, fill in the blank. Then my life would be perfect and I could be happy. And I think sometimes as a church we get stuck in that mindset as well. We think, if only we had, fill in the blank. Then we could really be equipped to do what God's calling us to do. Then we could truly do all the ministry we want. And yet that thinking begins this cycle, much like the stonecutter. We get the thing we think we want, and then all of a sudden we want something else. We want more. We're constantly on this if only cycle. And so we keep striving for things, never quite finding that true satisfaction. And we learn the truth that wanting more only makes us want even more. And so how do we break this cycle? How do we find true contentment and satisfaction? How do we come content with enough? Not an overabundance and not a lack, but enough. The Apostle Paul discovered this secret and incorporated it into his life, and we're going to look at a passage we read from Philippians 4 where he talks about expressing contentment in any and all circumstances. So the background of this passage, Paul thanks the Philippians for their gift to his ministry, and they wanted to give but hadn't had the opportunity to do so, and now they were able to give, and Paul was expressing gratitude for that. But he also assures the Philippians that he was not in need, but that he had learned to be content. And the word content literally means self-sufficient. It was a Stoic principle, and it was considered one of the highest ideals you could achieve, that reserves in oneself to face the harshest extremes, that you could be self-sufficient and content. But Paul turns this Stoic principle on its ear, and he promotes something that's not self-sufficiency, but Christ-sufficiency. Paul isn't sufficient in and of his own abilities, but in Christ's abilities, pulling him through different trials. And if you read the New Testament, you see that Paul went through a plethora of trials and testing. He faced a lot of persecution for his faith from the various authorities outside the church, and he also faced a lot of internal criticism from people within the church. And yet he learned how to be content, to have satisfaction, Christ sufficiency in all circumstances. And Paul reveals this secret to his contentment in this passage we read from Philippians, where he says he knows what it is like to be in plenty and in want. He knows what it is like to be in need and to have plenty. And he says the secret to being content in any and all circumstances. He says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Again, that's that Christ sufficiency. And so Paul learned to be content, whatever his situation, knowing that Christ would supply his needs. And so how then can we learn this secret of contentment? How can we incorporate this true satisfaction into our everyday lives? Well, as Paul, we must learn this principle. Paul learned contentment. The word means to learn from experience. This was something you couldn't learn in an academic class or from a book. You had to live it out and experience it, kind of the school of hard knocks, so to speak. And it didn't necessarily come easy to him. It was something that he had to develop over time. Paul went through many trials, as we said. When he was writing the letter to the Philippians, it was believed he was in prison and faced times of physical want. He was facing criticism from former friends who were trying to speak against him and speak against his name and were seeking to discredit his ministry. And yet he learned contentment through these trials. He learned to rely upon Christ's strength to meet his needs and sustain him in times of trouble. Jesus spoke of a similar principle in the Sermon on the Mount when he told those who were following him to not store up treasure here on earth, not accumulate lots of things, because there were lots of things that could happen. There were thieves that could break in and steal, or vermin that could waste it away, but to store up treasure in heaven, heaven being God's realm, the realm where God's will is done, where the way God wants things done is accomplished. That when we put our focus there and store up for ourselves treasure there, we will have the abundance and that sense of contentment. Paul learned contentment through trials and learned to rely upon Christ to meet his needs and sustain him. And we too can learn contentment, though we mercifully, hopefully, will not go through the kinds of trials that Paul does, but we all go through trials in life. We all go through ups and downs and circumstances where sometimes we have plenty and can worry less, and other times when things are leaner and we have to trust God more. And there are these cycles of times of plenty and want, of ups and downs. And God allows these times to test us, to make us more like Christ, to trust him to provide and come through. I once heard it's kind of the difference between being a thermometer versus being a thermostat, where a thermometer measures the temperature and goes up and down with the temperature, but a thermostat sets the temperature and sets the climate to whatever temperature we set it, regardless of what's happening outside the building. That temperature stays constant. And so I think God, through the Spirit, is helping us be like a thermostat, keeping us at an even keel, keeping us content with what God has given us in whatever stage or circumstance we are currently. Regardless of what happens around us, we can stay constant and focused on him. There's also no shortcut to learning this contentment through the experience of plenty and want. We have to go through these times of ups and downs, trusting in God to provide for us. And it's through that experience, through that active trust of living out our faith day by day and trusting God day by day, that we grow to have this inner contentment. This ties in, of course, to our stewardship, how we view our resources as God's gifts and how we give generously to the work of God's ministry, how we use our own times and talents and treasures. We trust that when God has given us enough, that we can give freely and generously to God's work without worrying about not having enough for ourselves. And that's a discipline that we learn by being more giving and generous. We then increase that sense of being content and thus giving more generously. It becomes this virtuous cycle. So we can be content with what we have and trust God for what we need. And God allows these times of up and down where we can learn to be more content. And even if we feel we are more on the want side than the plenty side, we must remember that God has blessed us in so many ways. And even God's delay in providing what we think we need gives us the opportunity to rely more upon God's grace. There are several passages of scripture that remind us of God's steadfast love for us regardless of our circumstances. In Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23, it says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Lamentations was a book written during the time of exile when the people felt like they had been abandoned by God, and yet God reminds them of his steadfast love for them. And in the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 7 and 8, it encourages those Corinthians, "Each of you must give as you have made up your mind to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work." I'm struck by the passage, having enough of everything. Not having not enough or not having too much, an overabundance, but having enough. And I think as human beings, we struggle with the concept of what is enough. What is enough in our own lives? What is enough where we will be content? But also as a church, what is enough? What is enough in terms of resources to do the ministry we're called to do? And how can we cultivate that? And there's always, of course, the sense of gratitude. Being grateful for the gifts that we are given increases our appreciation of them and increases our trust in God when we recognize the good things we're given as gifts and express that gratitude. It actually changes our way of thinking. It changes our orientation so we can be less prone to hold on to things and more open to open our hands and give. So I want to challenge us today as we're thinking about this concept of enough, of contentment, of Christ sufficiency, both in our own lives and in the life of our church. So think of one situation right now where you're having trouble finding contentment, satisfaction, where you're having trouble having that Christ sufficiency. Maybe it's a financial situation. Maybe it's job-related or a family concern or some other situation. But think about that and pray about that to God. Talk to God about how you're feeling about that, how you're struggling with wanting to have that sense of contentment, but you're still having that if-only thinking. Where you're still tempted to look at your neighbor or someone else's situation and think the grass is greener there. Think about that situation and commit to praying about that. And then see how God responds. See how you grow in relying on Christ's strength and sufficiency to get you through. See how the Lord provides in that situation. Even if it's not changing the circumstances, maybe it's changing your mindset toward it. And as a church, I think we can think too, where are we struggling with contentment? Where do we fall into the if only thinking, if only we had X? And how do we grow in contentment, in satisfaction, in Christ sufficiency? And how do we truly trust God for enough to do what we're called to do? True contentment and satisfaction comes from not having everything we want, but wanting everything we have. And I think it's a challenge for us as human beings and as Christ followers to be truly content with enough. We think our plans and our dreams are only whatever the fill in the blank is away. If only we had this, we could do even more, fulfill all our hopes and dreams. But then if God gave us everything we wanted and overabundance, then we wouldn't have to rely on God. We would just do it all ourselves. And God always, I think, challenges us to trust him at a deeper level and provides us with enough, but also with the need to trust him for what we think we're lacking. There's a saying I heard in ministry that without God, we can't. And without us, God won't. So there's this sense that God is calling us to a greater, deeper faithfulness, and that God won't act until we put up some of the trust. And true satisfaction is part of how we put up some of that trust. It's not based on our outward circumstances, but on our faith in Christ and what we believe God is able to do through us and in us in Christ. So friends, may we strive as human beings and as a church to be good stewards and to learn the secret of true contentment and satisfaction and Christ sufficiency. And learn to be content as Paul was in any and all circumstances, relying on Christ's strength. In a few minutes, we're going to be singing the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, which is based on that text I referenced from Lamentations. And it's a hymn written by Thomas Obadiah Chisholm, a Methodist pastor who lived a simple, faithful life in Christ. And while many hymns are born out of a particular dramatic experience, this hymn was simply the result of the author's morning by morning realization of God's personal faithfulness. It was born out of this daily experience of learning to trust God. In a letter, Mr. Chisholm wrote, "My income has not been large at any time due to impaired health in the earlier years, which has followed me until now. Although I must not fail to record the unfailing faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God, for which I am filled with astonishing gratefulness." Thomas Chisholm learned the secret to true satisfaction, to true contentment, to truly having enough and being Christ-sufficient. And his life reflected the truth of Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." May we too learn this lesson through our experience, and may the Lord bless this message to our hearing. Amen.